the point of devotional service, spontaneous devotional service, and then he explained about Dasya Rasa, the service attitude, and how that matures and becomes sweeter in the Sakya Rasa, how that matures and becomes sweeter in the Vatsalya Rasa, or the parental affection of the Lord. And then finally he described how that all matures and comes to the level of Madhurya Rasa, or intimate conjugal love with the Lord. And he explained, you may remember, how the qualities of the previous rasa exist in the subsequent rasa. So that in Madhurya Rasa, all the different qualities of love of Godhead exist. And this is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, oh, this is certainly the limit of perfection, but please be merciful and speak more if there is more. So he's come to the point of conjugal love of God in his description. Then we see in 97, Ramananda replied, until this day, I did not know anyone within this material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service. In other words, no one has ever inquired beyond this, and thus topics we're about to discuss are rare. If no one had ever asked that deeply before and gone to that level, then where we're going is unknown. And this is, in fact, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did by adventing in the mood of Srimati Radharani. He's promulgating, he's experiencing himself this love of God beyond just Madhurya Rasa, a very specific taste that he's experiencing and desiring to share with the world, and having Ramananda Roy be the instrument by which to kind of introduce this to him. Text 98. Among the loving affairs of the gopis, Ramananda Roy continued, Srimati Radharani's love for Sri Krishna is topmost. Indeed, the glories of Srimati Radharani are highly esteemed in all revealed scriptures. Then in 99, what he's doing is he's making a statement, and then he's going to back it up. He's going to support it with Shastra. He's not just giving his idea. He's actually going to speak Shastra. In 99, is Yatharadha Priya Vishnu's Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopi Shusaivaika Vishnu Gyantavallabha. Just as Srimati Radharani is dear to Sri Krishna, her bathing place, Radhakund, is also dear to him. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna. So this verse is from the Padma Purana. It's explaining just a little bit about Krishna, about his life in Vrindavan. It's an overview. It's not a deep explanation. But Ramananda Roy is taking that verse and establishing it as the foundation block upon which to build. In other words, even Padma Purana says, Srimati Radharani is the topmost gopi. Then he also quotes, there's a nice quote that I found from Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita. The process of speaking in spiritual circles is to say something upheld by the scriptures. One should at once quote from scriptural authority to back up what he is saying. And indeed we see that all the acharyas, Ramananda Roy will make a statement, quote a verse. Make another statement, quote another verse. Make another statement, quote another verse. And in this way, build his argument based on Shastra, which is transcendental. If you've read the introduction to Sri Upanishad, it's a very nice lecture by Srila Prabhupada about how the Vedas are free from all imperfections. Conditioned souls have the four defects. And the whole lecture is about how the Vedas are transcendental, beyond imperfection. They're pure. They're always correct. The Vedic version. So Ramananda Roy is quoting that. And he goes on to, in text 100, Anaya radito nunam bhagavan hariya isvaraha. Yanno vihaya govinda prito yam anayadraha. Another scriptural injunction from the Srimad Bhagavatam, but this one is more hidden. When the gopis began to talk amongst themselves, they said, dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else. purport. The name Radha is derived from this verse, 10:30:20, from the words Anyara Anaya Radhito, meaning by her the Lord is worshipped. Sometimes the critics of Srimad Bhagavatam find it difficult to find Srimati Radharani's holy name in that book. But the secret is disclosed here in the word Aradhita, from which the name Radha has come. Of course, the name of Radharani is directly mentioned in other Puranas. This gopi's worship of Krishna is topmost, and therefore her name is Radha, the topmost worshiper. And we all know the story. We're reading it now parallel in our weekly Bhagavatam stories, how Krishna is gathered with all the different gopis. Some gopis are physically restricted from coming to the rasa dance. Some get away. Some are Nitya Siddha gopis, some are Munichari gopis, some are Rishichari gopis, some of the personified Vedas reincarnated to be with Krishna, hundreds and thousands of gopis. But even though he was in the midst of all those gopis, when Srimati Radharani left the circle of the rasa dance, Krishna didn't feel that pleasure. This is what's being brought up. But to go back a step, Anyara Anaya Radhita Nunam is the verse that the gopis spoke when they were walking through the forest and they saw the footprints of Krishna, and then they saw some other footprints right next to Krishna's footprints, and they understood that he was with one other gopi. So they're saying, oh, this gopi must have worshipped Krishna even more than all of us, because somehow or other he took her away. This is the point that Ramananda Roy is quoting in order to support and establish his concept that Radharani is the foremost. Text 101. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, please speak on. I'm very happy to hear you because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth. Text 102. Ramananda Roy continues, during the rasa dance, Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs with Srimati Radharani due to the presence of the other gopis. Because of the dependence of others, the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna was not manifest. Therefore, he stole her away. So even though Radha and Krishna were dancing and enjoying one another's company, the opportunity for more intimacy was lacking, because of the presence of so many other people. Even though it was the rasa dance, even though there were so many forms of Krishna, still Radharani and Krishna felt somewhat inhibited in their desire to be alone and intimate. Now is the essence of today's, of this section's concept. Ramananda Roy in verse 105, and 106, actually it's 106, 107. Text 105, finding herself, during the rasa dance, Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs, this is 102. During the rasa dance, Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs with Srimati Radharani due to the presence of the other gopis. Because of dependence of the others, the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna was not manifest. Therefore, he stole her away. If Lord Krishna rejected the company of all the other gopis for Srimati Radharani, we can easily understand that Lord Krishna has intense affection for her. Ramananda Roy continued, please, therefore, hear from me about the glories of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs. They are beyond compare within these three worlds. 105. Finding herself treated equally with all the other gopis, Srimati Radharani displayed her tricky behavior and left the circle of the rasa dance. Missing Srimati Radharani's presence, Krishna became very unhappy and began to lament and wander throughout the forest to search her out. So this is Ramananda Roy telling and leading up to the story. Now he's in texts 6 and 7. He's going to quote Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda. Can you press the actual verse 106, because the Sanskrit, Gita Govinda, was composed in the 12th century, 11th or 12th story. If something's that old, 11th or 12th story, century means like the 1000s or the 1100s, that's 1,000 years almost. That's how old this book is. And at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was still a 450-year-old book. But somehow or another, although it's not one of the original Vedas, the culture of India had preserved this Shastra. Gita Govinda is one of the most influential books in Indian culture. Is it not? We know the Mahabharata, the Ramayana. These are the two big famous ones that have influenced the whole culture, all the grandmothers and people are always teaching their children the stories from Mahabharata and Ramayana. But the songs in Gita Govinda, I looked up on the internet, if you go to YouTube and just look up Gita Govinda, it's unbelievable how many different people have sung the songs of Jayadev Goswami and put them into a YouTube thing. Another is Dasavatar Stotra, which is the story, which is the first chapter of Gita Govinda, describes the glories of Hari and describes how he is the supreme personality of Godhead who advents himself yuge yuge, millennium after millennium in different forms. And we all know this song, we even sing it 1,000 years after it was written. And then Gita Govinda goes further into descriptions of Krishna's lila, Krishna's pastimes, and ultimately comes to this Ras Lila. And it's very beautiful poetry, very melodious, easy Sanskrit. And just like cream when you milk a cow, if you leave it in the pot, then gradually what happens is that the cream, the best part of the milk, gradually rises and comes to the top. So somehow or another, different books, in today's world, we don't have such depth of culture, unfortunately. The electronic age, something becomes popular, like a song or a movie or a theatrical performance, and it's famous for a few months, and then a new one comes out, and it just kind of obliterates, and one generation has their cultural influences, but by the time you get to the next generation, it's practically outdated and hackneyed. Like, I don't think the children of today are influenced like we were during the time of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. The songs may still be there, but the influence is different. They have their own new musicians and different things. But Gita Govinda, when it was composed, within a short time, even during the time of Jayadev Goswami's life, the book became so well appreciated and loved that temples started to sing the verses. Brahmins started to quote them and sing these songs, and bhajans became even without internet, without telephones, without newspapers, without even book presses. He wrote one copy, and then somebody else copied it, and then somebody else copied it, and somebody else copied it, and the culture of what has come about 1,000 years later is phenomenal. Nobody knows what sampradaya he belonged to, which is kind of Krishna's arrangement, because that way one sect can't say, oh, he's, you know, this one or that one. It's all pervasive. It's just love of Krishna. There's a beautiful quote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about different cultures and how they view the absolute truth. Subjects of philosophy and theology are like peaks of large, towering, and inaccessible mountains standing in the midst of our planet, inviting attention and investigation. Thinkers and men of deep speculation take their observations through the instruments of reason and consciousness, but they take different points when they carry on their work. These points are positions chalked out by the circumstances of their social and philosophical life. different as they are in different parts of the world. Plato looked at the peak of the spiritual question from the West. Vyas made his observations from the East. So Confucius did it from further East, and Schlegel, Spinoza, Kant, and Goethe from further West. These observations were made at different times and by different means, but the conclusion is all the same, inasmuch as the object of observation was one and the same. They all hunted after the Great Spirit, the unconditioned soul of the universe. They could not but get insight into it. Their words and expressions are different, but the import is the same. They tried to find out the absolute religion, and their labors were crowned with success. For God gives all that he has to his children if they want to have it. It requires a candid, generous, pious, and holy heart to feel the beauties of their conclusions. Party spirit, that great enemy of truth, will always baffle the attempt of the inquirer who tries to gather truth from the religious works of his own nation, and will make him believe that the absolute truth is nowhere except in his old religious book. But truth is eternal and is never injured but for a while by ignorance. So Gita Govinda isn't a sectarian book. No one can claim that this is our Sampradaya's commentary. And when we were in Jagannath Puri, we got a little tiny glimpse of how this book has influenced the entire culture. One time, one of the people in Sambalpur, and Orissa geographically borders Bihar, as you go toward, like where Sanatana Goswami walked through the Jarikanda forest on his way to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That area, Sambalpur, is famous for Orissan saris. And one time somebody had weaved a silk sari, and the pattern on the sari was verses from Gita Govinda. Can you imagine how much time it must have taken and geometrical design to take the colors of purple and yellow, like, and put them on a loom so that when you and pull it back and do another one and pull it back, handmade, beautiful sari, and they were going to offer this to Lord Jagannath. And they showed us the sari before it was offered. At night, before Lord Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra take rest, the Devi Dasis, at the time, now it's outdated, but they would come in, and it's a very sensual songs, beautiful songs from Gita Govinda, that the Devi Dasis, we've all seen Odissi dance. It's very fluid. It's Bharatanatyam's a bit rigid in its presentation, but Odissi dance is very fluid and sensual. So the Devidasis were actually considered from their time of birth and childhood wives of Lord Jagannath. They wouldn't marry mortal men. They were like celibate monks on the other side, sannyasis. They're female Devidasis. And they would come before the deities and sing Gita Govinda with this very beautiful music and very sensual, pleasing dance for the Lord's pleasure. So these are some of the verses from Gita Govinda. That 106 is Kama Sri Rapi Samsara Vasana Bara Shungalam Radha Madaya Hridaye Tatya Javraja Sundari. I'm not good at Sanskrit, but even these verses are easy to sing. Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, took Srimati Radharani within his heart, for he desired to dance with her. Thus he left the area of the rasa dance and the company of all the other beautiful damsels of Braj. And then the next one. Etastatas tam anushrityararikam anangavana vranakina manasa ketanutapta sakalindinandini tatantaku jevishasharamarava. Being afflicted by the arrow of Cupid, and unhappily regretting his mistreating Radharani, Madhava, Lord Krishna, began to search for Srimati Radharani along the banks of the Jamuna River. When he failed to find her, he entered the bushes of Vrindavan and began to lament. This pastime also reveals, has a history. When Jadarani first heard this story back in the 60s from Srila Prabhupada. She painted a painting of Krishna, her artist's vision of Krishna in the bushes lamenting, and brought it to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "What is this?" He said, "Oh, this is Krishna lamenting." Prabhupada said, "He doesn't lament like that." It's a very deep subject matter. Yesterday, when I was preparing, I looked up Jayadeva Goswami and Prabhupada's lectures and couldn't really find very much except his quoting Dasavatara Stotra. But I did find a really nice conversation, and unfortunately, I would have clipped it, but made a clip of it. But it's not very good audio, and it's a lot of noise in the background. Prabhupada was speaking with two Orissan gentlemen when he was in Bhuvaneshwar in 1977. They had actually produced a Orissa film of Krishna Leela. So they came to Srila Prabhupada, wanted his approval, were appreciating, had read some of his books. Very nice gentlemen, actually. And the tone of the conversation is very cordial and back and forth, no intense building. But what happened is that they're trying to get Srila Prabhupada to agree that this was a good project. And they were talking about how we included 34 different songs from Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda. And Prabhupada tried to explain to them that people won't understand what you're presenting. No, Swamiji. All of Orissa is very pious country. They will understand. Grandmothers have told their children this information for centuries. Prabhupada said, "Then why yesterday, when we were having our meeting, did one man ask me, how is God killed?" Apparently, the day before, in their conversation, somebody had asked at the end of the Krishna Leela, when he got shot in the foot, why did he die? So Prabhupada said, "You all come from the culture of India. You come from the place where Lord Buddha, Lord Ramachandra, and Lord Krishna appeared, and you're asking, who is God? What is God? You can present these things, but you have jumped to the 10th canto, and you're presenting Krishna Leela to these people. They don't understand. They'll consider it like sex, like ordinary men and boys and girls. No, Swamiji. Please give us your approval of this." And Prabhupada said, "I'm sorry, I will not give my approval. In fact, I reject it." And the men were like heartbroken, but they were, because they were sincere. But and in the course of the half an hour, 45 minute conversation, I could at the end find Prabhupada said, "Hare Krishna," because it was a man convinced against his will, is unconvinced still. They had done this big project. They kind of understood. "No, Guruji, whatever you say." And then they try to twist it. It was like really frustrating to try and see him go through that and explain. He said, "Why you don't do film on Janmadya Yataha, the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and bring people gradually to the point of understanding this information? How can they understand the intimacy of love if they don't understand? You have to understand Krishna first." Then, so it was a very nice example for me to see how this 10th canto presentation truly isn't proper for mass distribution to cultures and civilizations in this day and age. In Kali Yuga, it's just too complex and misunderstood. When Jayadeva Goswami was writing, this famous story, when he was writing the Gita Govinda, there are so many stories about Jayadeva, even though it's 1,000 years ago, almost. But he was, this one's so popular, it's common, that he was writing, and Prabhupada also quoted this verse to the man. He was saying, "Jayadeva Goswami, Dehi Para Palavam Mudaram." And the man said, "Yes, Prabhupada." So when Jayadeva Goswami was writing this part of this Gita Govinda, when Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Brahman, Purusottama, the topmost personality of Godhead, he came to the point where he's writing this. This is coming from within his heart. And he came to the point where this verse, this concept that Krishna became subordinate to Radharani, and he was writing, and he actually had to stop. And he's thinking, "Oh my God, is this my mind? How is it that the Supreme Personality of Godhead could become subordinate He's the master, they're the servant. We're all servants of him. So he actually stopped his writing. And his wife, Padmavati, was there. He said, Padma, I go in for bath and say Gayatri. I have to think about this. So he left, and he lived near the river. He left the home. And very shortly thereafter, he walked back in the house. And Padmavati said, you're back so soon, Prabhu? He said, yes, I was contemplating something, and I wanted to write it down before I forgot it. So went into his room, opened the thing, wrote it down, and then left. So when he left, and Padmavati fed him. So when he left, she started to take her prasad. In Vedic culture, the woman would feed her husband and then leave. And then she starts to take prasad. And then Jayadev walks in and he sees his wife taking prasad. He says, what are you doing? It wasn't angry or something. He's just like astonished that I haven't taken my prasad. Our standard is that I take and then you take. And she said, well, what are you doing coming back so soon? You said you were just going for your bath. You already took your prasad. He said, what? I didn't take my prasad. And then they were confused. What happened here? And they realized that someone else had come in the guise of Jayadev, and they went in and looked at his book and this verse, Dehi para palavam udaram, that I take the feet of Radharani and place them on my head. And apparently Krishna, just like he took the form of the cowherd boys, he can take the form of anyone perfectly. He had taken the form of Jayadev, come in the house, and written this line. So the concept of that is extremely deep and confidential and unique. And thus, Ramananda Roy is quoting that verse, that concept, that idea, in order to magnify and show how Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna is the most highest. So can you go back now, Keshava, to 108? Simply by considering these two verses, those two verses from Gita Govinda, one can understand what nectar there is in such dealings. It is exactly like freeing a mine of nectar. Although Krishna was in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis during the Rasa dance, he still kept himself in one of his transcendental forms by the side of Srimati Radharani. Lord Krishna is equal to everyone in his general dealings. But due to the conflicting, ecstatic love of Srimati Radharani, there were opposing elements. This next verse is from the Ujjvala Nilamani, from Rupa Goswami. The progress of loving affairs between a young boy and a young girl is like the movement of a snake. On account of this, two types of anger arise between a young boy and girl, anger with a cause and anger without a cause. Srila Prabhupada's purport. During the Rasa dance, one form of Krishna was between every two gopis. But by the side of Srimati Radharani, there was only one Krishna. Although this was the case, Srimati Radharani still manifested disagreement with Krishna. This verse is from the Ujjvala Nilamani, written by Rupa Goswami. In other words, anger with a cause and anger without a cause. Krishna had made all arrangements for Srimati Radharani, special arrangements, and still she became angry. So it's anger without a cause. But that's the nature of young love. Young love means she still became angry, even though he had made special arrangements. It's conflicting. There's another beautiful verse. I wish I could remember it. All glories to the love of Srimati Radharani. Although it is something, it's unlimited and always expands. Anyone know it? Although it is famous, it is devoid of pride, and although it is pure, it is filled with duplicity. Text 112. This is where we started today. When Radharani left the Rasa dance out of anger and resentment, Lord Krishna became very anxious because he could not see her. Lord Krishna's desire in the Rasa Lila circle is perfectly complete, but Srimati Radharani is the binding link in that desire. The Rasa dance does not shine in the heart of Krishna without Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he also gave up the circle of the Rasa dance and went out to search for her. When Krishna went out to search for Srimati Radharani, he wandered here and there. Not finding her, he became afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and began to lament. Since Krishna's lusty desires were not satisfied, even in the midst of hundreds and thousands of gopis, and he was thus searching after Srimati Radharani, we can easily imagine how transcendentally qualified she is. Now, we spoke about what happened in the conversation prior up to this point, how we got to this point where he's describing Srimati Radharani and her love as the topmost Madhurya Lila. And what this is doing is also setting a foundation for the next part of the conversation, which will come in the future, about then Lord Chaitanya will say, oh, so sweet. Now please explain the love between Radha and Krishna. And it goes further into that. And then he'll ask, and the means to attain that. And that's the end of the conversation. So these are beautiful topics that take us and allow us to see how the path of spiritual life is so deep and progressive that we can never really reach the end of it as we cook down the sugar cane juice in our hearts and taste the sweetness of this love. Are there any questions or comments? Guru Prasad, get the mic, okay?
When the gopis saw four sets of footprints instead of two, Krishna had already found Radharani when they saw those prints then, because Krishna went out looking for Radharani.
Right. They had come together and then gone off together because they saw those footprints. And then if you remember, they saw like the half footprint when he climbed on her. There's a whole beautiful book called Prema Samputa, The Love Locket, which describes that particular pastime and what went through Srimati Radharani's mind when they were together. She was conflicted because she was intimately with Krishna, so she was feeling that wonder and beauty, but she was also understanding that they had left all her friends and that they were feeling separation. So it's a very beautiful description how she goes through her different moods. Sanapriya?
Hare Krishna, thank you for that wonderful description. I just wanted to mention that Srimati Radharani, in order to understand her personality and her pastimes and all of these intimate pastimes with Krishna, we have to understand that she actually is Krishna, non-different. She's the internal energy. And when we hear these pastimes, how she is acting like a young girl, this is God's pastimes. We have to realize because the tendency of relating our own life to Srimati Radharani is always a dangerous thing. So we have to understand, especially when we're hearing these kind of pastimes, that she's the only one who can satisfy Krishna completely because she is the internal energy. We are very small parts of Krishna, but she is kind of non-different. It says that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. She's non-different. So just want to mention that.
Okay, some details on that. We know that Krishna is Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Spiritual energy is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Sat, Chit, Ananda. The subdivisions of that, or other words for that, is Samvit, which means cognizant. The cognizant means there's an energy, which means we're cognizant. Sandini is the existence potency. Things exist. This is Sandini potency. And Hladini. The Hladini potency means the pleasure potency. The ability to experience pleasure comes from the Hladini potency, the original potency of God, which creates pleasure. Now, just like the milk to cream example, if you take the cream and make butter and cook the butter and get ghee, you get the essence of milk. just like essential flowers, essential oils. The essence of milk is ghee. So the essence of Ladini is love of God. Love for Krishna is the essence of pleasure. The essence of love of God is bhava, emotion. It's not simply a matter of knowledge, that's samvit, but not bhava, experience of love. It's feelings, which like a tapestry kind of are interwoven with knowledge and existence. And one experiences a bhava, a pleasure. The essence of bhava is mahabhava. And the essence of mahabhava is ariruda bhava. That essence manifests as Srimati Radharani. So the essence of the pleasure potency manifests as a person in Krishna's pastimes in order for him to enjoy. Now, even logically, if you take the pleasure potency and remove it from the rasa dance, if you take the essence of the pleasure potency and remove it, then how can there be pleasure? It's gone. It's not there. So he goes and he looks for it. It's kind of an easy, scientific kind of way to understand that. Anything else?
But all the gopis are expansion.
Yes, they're expansions. They can't give the pleasure that she can. The gopis are expansions of Srimati Radharani.
As they expand, the pleasure potency get less and less.
Not necessarily like that. That would kind of be like adding more and more water to the milk. But each one is individually potent, but not potent, just like Krishna. Krishna's too Bhagavan Swayam. The whole Krishna Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami, all this understanding that Krishna is the fountainhead. He's the source of all the other incarnations. It doesn't mean that those other incarnations aren't God, or that they're supremely powerful, or that they're everything. There's just those four qualities that Krishna has that the other incarnations don't have. Similarly, all the different expansions and gopis and shaktis of Radharani are fully potent in themselves, but she has some essential qualities that none of them have.
And at the same time, it's important to understand the samavrit, to understand the pleasure potency, to understand all three. Because if you don't have knowledge of who Radharani is, then you won't understand the pleasure potency.
Right.
So it's necessary to understand that.
Sure.
That's why we study the cantos and then come to
very good. Yes, it's like a blend, like cooking. You don't just take one ingredient and come up with something. You have to blend them all together, and that makes something palatable.
The gopis didn't know who this other gopi's footprints are. A question comes in my mind that, are they not aware that Radharani is the topmost gopi amongst
nice,
them?
Nice, sweet question. I just read the purport to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on that particular verse where they find the footprints, and everybody's saying, oh, look, this gopi. So what happened is it's described that Lalita, Vishaka, and the other gopis in Radharani's group, they knew, but they wanted to glorify her indirectly. So they acted like they didn't know, and they didn't want to create enmity and contrary feelings, so they didn't reveal it. But they knew, but the other girls didn't know.
So
Chandravali, she shriveled a little bit.
So in general, not necessarily, I mean, besides the intimate gopis, sakhis of Srimati Radharani, not necessarily everybody knows that she is the topmost gopi.
Oh no, competition is definitely active.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, like Padma, Chandravali's closest. She's how could there be enthusiasm for competition if you know you're always going to lose? That's not there. So that kind of, I guess, Yogamaya must cover that, so that's not manifest. Jai, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.